Amy Jill Levine is an Orthodox Jew and a professor of New Testament at Vanderbilt Divinity School. She grew up as a Jew among Christians and has a unique love for and unique perspective on the New Testament. As such, she has much to offer Christians in understanding Jesus, who, after all, was a Jew who loved and taught the first Christians. Dr. Levine, in her book, Jesus the Misunderstood Jew, tells us that many interpretations of today's scripture are possible. Interestingly, quoting a Catholic theologian, she suggests, first, that the woman anticipates Jesus' own sacrifice. She gives her whole life, as Jesus will do. Levine points out the parallel to the story of Elijah and the widow who gives him the last of her flour and oil. Levine also points to the emphasis on the dignity of the poor, whose gift is valued more highly by God than the gift of the wealthy who are not giving sacrificially. But what is it about sacrifice that God values? It's interesting to note, first, that the word sacrifice comes from the combination of two Latin words for sacred and doing. The focus on sacrifice, therefore, is not the giving up, it's the giving for. The emphasis is on the holiness of the act. To sacrifice is to do something set apart for God. The intent is to please God, not to bring attention to oneself. The intent is to please God, not to gain something for oneself. Emily M. Towns, in the commentary Feasting on the Word, writes this: "Let us pause before we put the poor widow on a suspect pedestal and ask, why do we valorize sacrifice? This valorization is more than a slow mulling over its Latin roots, which combines sacred and to make, so that sacrifice is something of value offered as an act of devotion or worship to God. In today's world, sacrifice often means something very different from an act of devotion or worship. It often means giving up more than we should and less than we can." Towns continues, "Those coins represent more than money. They represent faith and belief and how these must be lived out in our lives in concrete acts, and not solely by rituals that no longer hold religious power. The coins represent faith-filled offering found in presenting all of who we are and all we hope to become to God for service in the world. Indeed, offering in this sense is something other than prayer, tithes, Eucharist, or communion. It is not so much the act of giving or receiving, it is the act of being." End quote. Personally, I wrestle with this. What does it mean for me to give all to God? Where should I spend my money? I recently read an article by a pastor who explained why he'd given up tithing. The gist of the article was that the focus on the percentage was wrong. After all, God has entrusted everything we have to us. And if Jesus is our guide, all we have, even our life, belongs to God. However, if we say everything belongs to God, it becomes easy to dismiss the requirement as impossible. Jesus does not make this easy. Notice this story is not abstractly about the widow's life. It is very specifically about her money. We cannot easily dismiss this story as being about living our life for God and move on to limit our financial decisions to something more manageable like 10%. We cannot literally give everything, can we? What did Jesus teach? In Mark 10:21, Jesus tells a rich man to sell what he owns and give it to the poor in order that he might have treasure in heaven. Jesus asked his disciples to leave their jobs and their families and follow him. Jesus personally gave himself his entire life. It seems that Jesus is saying that nothing we have, nothing we say, and nothing we do is exempt. God wants it all. This reminds me of evangelists I remember hearing as a child who would say that making Jesus the Lord of our life doesn't mean just inviting Jesus into the living room, but willing to invite him into every room of our house. If we are willing to give over our all to God, it means first that God wants our all. It means that God is interested in our all. It means that God does not exclude any part of our lives from his care. Likewise, we should not exclude God from any part of our lives. In recent years, there's been more emphasis on how we care for the environment as a stewardship decision. Simply stated, God created the earth. God entrusted the earth to us. So we are therefore stewards of the earth and all that is within it. The premise is easy. The execution is hard. What does it mean? Does it mean that I reuse and recycle items in order that more trees do not have to be cut down to replace what I throw away? Does it mean that I use as much as possible of what I have been given in order that there may be no waste? When I was in Longview, somebody was killing deer and leaving the body and taking only the head. The Longview Chronicle was full of letters of people who were angered by this wasteful practice. What does it mean to us to be good stewards of the resources God has given us? One thing it surely means is to be aware that every decision we make is a stewardship decision, because everything we have is a gift of God and a gift from God. What we buy and how we use what we buy is a stewardship decision. What we do with our time in choosing to allocate a precious resource given to us by God, our very lives, measured in minutes, hours, days, and weeks, is also a stewardship decision. How do we respond to Jesus' call to us every minute of every day? What choices do we make that tell God we are willing to respond without reservation? What was Jesus praising when he saw the widow giving her 2 coins? The shocking thing about the story is that Jesus is not focused on the quality of the gift, but the intent behind the gift. Jesus is not concerned whether the woman is a member of the gold or silver givers club. Jesus is not concerned with what Jesus is concerned with is what she's thinking. Remember when the woman poured the expensive perfume on Jesus? The disciples were upset because the money could have been used to provide for the poor. Here, Jesus is praising the gift of a poor woman. In both stories, Jesus honors the woman's relatively costly gifts. In each story, the woman's intent is good. The woman pouring the perfume focuses on Jesus, and she holds nothing back. The widow in today's scripture focuses on the temple, and she holds nothing back. Now, it's interesting to note that the widow in this story is giving to the temple treasury. Jesus does not criticize her choice of giving money to an institution that has its flaws. Indeed, Jesus is later convicted of blasphemy based largely on his statement that the temple would be destroyed. So Jesus is aware of the flaws of the temple and its impermanence. Jesus sees the intent behind the woman's gift and her willingness to give her all, and he praises her action. The first century temple is like our church, far from perfect. The church, like the temple, is an institution made by people, run by people who are looking to God for life. In today's scripture, Jesus praises a woman who is willing to give all she has, even though it is in support of an imperfect, impermanent institution. Pete Peary, former president of Montreat Camp and Conference Center and former pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Asheville, North Carolina, observes this, quote, "Jesus calls his disciples to notice that this widow gives all that she has, literally, the whole of her life. She gives her whole life to something that is corrupt and condemned. Moreover, this is the last scene in Jesus' public ministry. From here, all that remains is Mark's telling, is the temple discourse and the passion narrative. So this widow offers a glimpse into what Jesus is about. Jesus is on the way to give the whole of his life for something that is corrupt and condemned, that is all of humanity, the whole world. The poor widow gives her whole life for that which is worthy only to be condemned. Is this the calling Jesus lifts up for the entire church?" End quote. Isn't this what Jesus did? Didn't he give himself up for us, even though we're corrupt? What are we called to do? Are we to give our gifts to a corrupt institution that's full of sinful people who are seeking God? Are we to hold back until we find a perfect institution that has no flaws? Are we called to foolishly pour perfume on Jesus' head? What would Jesus have us do with what we've been given? What does God want from us? Amen.